Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show with a deep appreciation for plaid. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope.
Your summer movie preview is here. We took a look at Marvel's The Avengers, and Adam tries to get public funding for his adult kickball league stadium.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey, ahoy, hey, ahoy, hoy, Scope faithful. I can't even say it. Already bumbling and stumbling over my own words.
Thank you, Mr. Burns.
Ahoy, hoy.
So episode 123 of The Scope, coming at you live. At least our voices.
Yeah, I had some camera issues, so we just elected to do an audio-only stream.
That's all right.
I'm fine with it.
That's all right. You know, it's not like we're the most attractive guys on the planet.
We may have overachieved last week with the multi-camera switching.
Top 10%.
I was gonna bring it down a level and just do a split screen with the two cameras so I wouldn't have to try switching. So
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Can always see what we're doing.
I'm working up to it. Yeah.
No pressure.
You can see I have a new camera, a new lighting fill globe light up here.
$15
of expenditure at IKEA. Actually, maybe not even that much.
The whole studio feels warmer than what it normally
is. Yeah, we can see each other. It's kind of weird.
Creepy. Gross.
I don't like that.
The audience at home cannot.
Adam, much less attractive in bright light, it turns out. So we are here, fresh off of just seeing an early morning screening of The Avengers.
10:45 is early morning, huh?
Ties into, well, for some of us, ties into our big summer movie preview that we will be tackling today later in the show. A lot of research done. Adam doing research right now, as a matter of fact. He's like, what are these movies? What is the summer?
You know, my last trip a few weeks ago, I actually managed to get the EW summer movie preview.
That's the Bible on this.
And then I left it at my hotel room.
Oh, jeez. What a moron.
I was going to grab my issue 2 for reference, but I left it upstairs. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't need it.
We
get it right on your iPad.
I know, but my iPad's upstairs, too.
Oh, boy. Jared, we're not firing on all cylinders. Adam's forgetting his magazines. And
we're good.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Okay. I'm scared. I'm just scared.
I did a lot of prep last night. Just couldn't get everything to work.
So I want to take 10 minutes.
10 minutes!
Maybe a little less, to be a little selfish. I want to
talk. Put it on the clock?
Yes. I want to talk about a local issue that has been just driving me crazy the last 2 weeks. So I want Adam's take, I want Jared's take.
All right.
And Jared actually teased it a little bit. I don't even know if
it's... Sorry, 10 minutes are up.
Okay.
It's podcasting time, it goes really, really fast.
It's amazing how that works. I don't know if this is even national news yet to any degree, but... We are here in Minneapolis going through a bit of an issue with getting a new stadium for our Minnesota Vikings.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
A lot of battle that's deeper than just paying billionaires. We've got a Democratic governor.
He's called a governor.
Is that the word?
Yes.
Him lead.
And
then we've got a Republican-dominated legislative body, meaning the main votes, the laws that are created are... Pretty much the agenda is established and dictated by the Republican Party.
So things are going smoothly.
So yes, things are going smoothly. As one of the leaders of the Republican, I don't know if it was the House or the Senate, said, hey, you Minnesotans voted for a Democratic governor and you voted in a Republican legislative body. You get what you deserve. Wow. That's what he said, essentially. So my question to you is, Jared, as we are rolling into the stadium issue, right now where it stands is this. There's going to be a big vote here in Minneapolis. St. Paul area on
Monday.
So
in
when this show hits, that will be taking place.
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows when it'll actually happen? It could be a late thing, but
a lot of shenanigans going on with this. The governor supports the stadium,
of course.
I think that the Republican folks in charge, they're a bit split.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They don't like our governor. The governor's been cock-blocking them at every turn on every bill.
And getting laid with that one lady.
which, it's sort of funny because prior to Governor Dayton being in office, we had a Republican governor and a legislative body that was dominated by Democrats. So a lot of the same stuff that happened a few years back is now happening on the flip side. So
that's where I'll catch you, by the way.
What's that?
I'll catch you there on the flip side.
Okay, very good. So right now... While
this very minute.
While The Vikings are an
important... Or 2 days ago when you're listening to this.
Vikings are an important asset
yes.
to the state of Minnesota. I think a lot of people agree with that. We have a very vocal, I don't want to say minority because I don't know if that's a fair statement, but we have a vocal faction of people that think you don't play ball with billionaires who want stadiums built for them. It's not what you do. We as a community need to take a stand, put down our fists and say, we will not kowtow to you guys. We will not do that anymore. We are going to make a statement to the NFL.
There's an error with that problem, with that stance. Though.
There is, and we'll get to that.
Okay.
So we have that issue going, but we also have a lot of people who do appreciate the Vikings, and
they're all currently camped out in the Capitol Rotunda.
Yeah, they're not necessarily happy with the fact that you're going to try to build a stadium for a billionaire. They're not happy that the game is played the way it is, the political game,
yeah.
the money game. But they also understand that there is an intrinsic value that a lot of people understand brings to this community. We have what do we have, like the 14th highest viewership? I don't know. We
14th, the market size?
14th biggest market, but our viewership per individual is higher than that. I mean, it's here in Minnesota, we watch the Vikings on TV more than most places across the country. It's yeah. one of the things. So a lot of people get joy from this. We'll find out on Monday I guess the other aspect to this is that I personally feel like this bill to create this stadium should stand on its own. But there's a lot of, they call it horse trading. Is that what it is, Jared?
Sure.
Meaning?
Political maneuvers.
Political maneuvering, meaning if you scratch our back on tax cuts, we'll scratch your back on the Vikings. Maybe. So that's
and our governor did not scratch their back on a particular bill yesterday, Friday.
Unless you
that
count
he vetoed
immediately,
and then they're basically saying, well, probably shouldn't have done that. So they're threatening him on. Yeah. So go ahead.
He scratched their back with a knife,
yes.
essentially, and
yes.
cut them, and
exactly.
and wasn't really that. I don't know if he was. So they would probably consider it rude. He actually said in his letter explaining why he did it that he didn't think it was fair, and if they want to come back to him with a fair tax cutting bill that. That doesn't just benefit
sure.
a small minority of people, which that's what he feels,
yeah.
Then he would be more than willing to look at it. So that leaves us where we're standing now, or where we will be standing
correct.
After the show is done. So, Jared, I'm looking at you. You are one of the biggest political insiders there in the country.
You've got
a lot of sources.
Sure, sure. Your blog, your other podcast,
yes.
the Scoop.
And there's
my Politidork podcast. Yeah.
There's one of two people down here in this basement that really respect your opinion. So please, what's your take on all this?
I can understand the opponent's side of things not wanting to spend the kind of money that it takes to build a modern NFL facility. It's hard. You look at cases like in Dallas where Jerry Jones just built it himself because he's, got the money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they used public funds to build a new New York stadium. I think that was all privately financed. But there's other cases where, the public has to pony up the money. In most cases. And let's not discount the fact that Ziggy Wealth, the owner of the team, is actually putting in a huge chunk of money, more than most owners are really required to put in.
Some might argue that that's just loans from the NFL, though, that he's not really fronting a lot of his money.
But the problem is that, and you talked about it, we don't want to give money to billionaires to build stadiums. Somebody will.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is if we don't do it, somebody will. Probably L.A.
Maybe,
they're perfectly willing to build a stadium to entice a franchise to move there.
Maybe if L.A. was off the table, this political gamesmanship that's been going on might work a little bit better. But I feel
not really fair, because for all we know, L.A. really is off the table. And, this is all just being done
under the
auspices of, this way the NFL doesn't have to pay for, $1 billion. They only have to pay $300 million or whatever.
Sure.
Is that your take on it?
No, I mean, we just don't know.
You think we're maybe a little naive in the sense that maybe we're being played more than
probably.
You think.
I mean, ultimately, I don't care about that team, but
that team,
that team. I won't even
that
name
team.
Them.
Wow, get out! Turn this mic off.
But ultimately, what will wind up happening if they leave is that in 10 years the state's going to want to pay, you still want a football team here, and they're going to wind up having to pay $2 billion,
yep.
right?
And so, you will have to build the stadium, have that locked down before they're here.
Right.
You're going to have to pay for the franchising fee to get it, and more than likely it won't even be the Minnesota Vikings. It'll be some other
expansion team
if you even get that, or they'll steal it away from somebody else.
Yeah.
So, to continuing this thread, it's like, I understand that yeah, it's tough to commit those kind of financial resources to a stadium when there isn't a clear benefit to a majority of the population. I can't really divorce myself from it, though, because I am a fan of the team, and I don't want them to leave. So, obviously, I want them to build a stadium because I want to watch my team play on Sundays.
Would they still be your team if they left? Like, I mean, would you still
That's a great question. Jared and I have talked about this recently.
I think that at least for a couple of years following, I would probably still feel an allegiance to them. But,
you wouldn't see them in this market.
No, not necessarily.
You wouldn't see them on TV.
DirecTV's income would go way up in the Minneapolis area.
Yeah,
it's all a scheme, isn't it?
So, but I think a lot of people are missing some of the intangibles of having an NFL franchise. I mean, there's only 32 of them, and it certainly brings a bit of legitimacy to your metropolitan area if you have an NFL team. Mm-hmm. You feel like, you know, hey, we're one of the premier cities in the country.
Mm-hmm. It lets you wag your dick at Ames, Iowa. Yeah. Fuck those guys.
Suck it, Ames.
Yeah. Or as the chunky guy in Titanic says, I hear Cedar Rapids is dead. Anyway.
You've been waiting how many years to get the chunky guy reference in?
Never. I just thought of it now.
I love it.
Sorry about it. Can we rewind that and cut that out?
Yeah, I think that may be the biggest sticking point through all of this. And yep. I think it's a microcosm for politics in general.
Yep.
It's either A or it's B. It's black or it's white. There's no gray. There's no intrinsic or unmeasurable positivity that they bring or people don't take that into account when they're looking at this. And I think that is a very poor way to go through life. I think it's a poor way to look at this issue. I think it's a poor way to look at a lot of issues that our country is struggling with. Adam.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
Well, it is what it is, man. I kind of feel like we're kind of stuck in this trap. Where people have convinced us to enjoy a sport, and that enjoyment has gotten to such a point where we're willing to say, all right, well, $700 million in extra taxes to pay for it isn't that big of a deal for the 15% of the actual population that, you know, watches Vikings games or, you know, whatever the number is. So that seems a little insane, but I like watching football.
And
so
it is a facility that will get used for other things, too. It's not just for 10 games a year plus playoffs. Playoffs, come on, man, playoffs.
Playoffs?
Yeah, I know, but at the same time.
I mean, I understand. I get what you're saying. It's ludicrous.
Right.
But there's a lot of things that we do that are ludicrous. I mean, we fund wars that are not legitimate.
Right, but we disagree with those. But so here we are agreeing with this one.
How's that 10 minutes going, Chan?
I don't know where we're at, Jared.
We're 13 minutes into the recording. So.
Okay. So, yeah, we're almost there.
It's an unanswerable question for this group.
My response to you would be, we pay for a lot of things that not everybody uses and not everybody agrees on. But taking into the bigger picture... You know, this just happens to be one of the biggest ones, so I get it. I totally get it, but...
Well, no, I disagree with that because you have this legislature which has defunded K-12 and higher education well above $700 million over the last 2 years, and that is something that almost everyone uses.
I agree with that.
So it's, you know, again, like, it's this...
So when you follow the money, you start to get to some real truth.
Yeah, so that's just frustrating.
Let's not follow the money.
Right. I would rather remain blind to this because I want to enjoy my football.
Here's the thing, though, Adam, and I agree with that. I think funding for school should be plentiful and it should be reasonable, but that's not the argument that our legislator is using, legislative body is using to not fund the stadium. I don't think that that's the case.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
So I think that's disingenuous as well.
My argument?
No.
Oh,
I would say their argument.
Yes,
I just think overall Adam is disingenuous.
That's very true. and disinterested in the Vikings.
He's out.
Oh, yeah.
Man, if this would have been the Washington Redskins, this guy would be flipping out all over the place.
They have a privately funded stadium that's the second largest in the league. They're not going to have to worry about this for 20 years.
20 years.
Sickening. Well, the Vikings get it done, then they won't have to worry for 20 years.
Right.
Right?
Oops. Ever. Hey. Uh-oh.
I just got a text from Earl saying, Avengers, thoughts?
Yeah, he got me already.
Well, maybe he should be listening live.
Yeah.
To the scope.
Yeah, I should tell him.
You can listen. You can get our thoughts in about 4 hours. So the rest of the show, guys, let's get to that. We've got our summer movie preview. We've done it, I think, 6 years. This is our sixth time doing it. Very, very exciting.
It's the most fun show I think we do all year.
Yeah, I mean, people just wait for it. I know Carrie's at home. She got a bowl full of popcorn. It's just like seeing a movie.
Yeah.
We've got a review of one of the movies we'll be talking about in the summer preview, The Avengers. We're fresh off the screening of it, so all of our thoughts will be relevant and sharp.
Mm.
And we'll be doing Coming Soon and some news and all sorts of stuff that Adam leads, as he has done for the last 6 years as well. So this is going to be a great show.
I'm lucky I got done texting before you got to the point where I needed to push a button.
Let's take a break.
Yep.
Episode 123. Be back. Just in a second. In 1 second. This is the scope.
Yeah. Hi, we're here on the street asking people about the fump. Excuse me, sir. Do you know what the fump is?
The what?
The fump. F-U-M-P.
Oh, I don't know. But it doesn't sound appetizing. I don't want any.
Isn't that the sound a groundhog makes when you run over it with your car?
No. Can you tell me what the fump is?
Is it the enemy in the next Spider-Man movie?
I don't think so.
A clean-burning car that runs on pancakes?
What?
Isn't that the stuff the Nutty Professor invented?
No, that's flubber. The Fump. What is the Fump?
Ooh, it's a dog. I think it's half Great Dane, half Chihuahua.
Is that even possible?
Sounds like something you get from a cheap hooker.
Oh, come on, no. Doesn't anyone around here know what the Fump is?
I do, but I'm a paid announcer with a script in front of me that explains it.
Fine, fine. Go do your thing.
The Fump is the Funny Music Project. It's a website where comedy musicians post funny songs and parodies. New songs are uploaded every Tuesday and Friday. The songs are available for free download from thefump.com or automatically via our podcast feed. The Fump features some of the biggest names in comedy music from the Dr. Demento Show, including the great Luke Ski, Robert London Spav, Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, Rob Balder, Possible Oscar, Tom Smith, Raymond and Scum, Power Salad, Bob Ricci, Carla Ulbricht, Steve Goody, Paul and Storm, and Jonathan Colton. High-quality downloads and compilation CDs are also available. Find us at www.thefump.com or look us up on iTunes. And for behind-the-scenes discussions on the songs posted to the Fump, listen to the Funny Music Podcast.
Thank you. See, people? Was that so hard?
So it is something you get from a cheap hooker. Look, the one I was with last Friday sold me a copy of the Volume 10 compilation CD.
Ugh, I quit. I'm going home.
The Fump. It's not something you get from a cheap hooker. Usually.
Summer's here. And the time is right for the highly anticipated but never duplicated Scope Summer Preview. We'll fill you in on all the must-sees and must-avoids of this very important season. The Scope Summer Preview.
God, I love that music bed there. It's so, it makes me just feel like I'm out on the beach with the beautiful ladies.
Thank GarageBand for that.
Surfing. And then later we have like a crab boil or something like that. We all get around the fire.
I feel like that bit in GarageBand is probably called Summer Movie Preview. Am I right about that?
I don't know. Okay. Probably not exactly that, but...
Pretty close. So, guys, we're back for our sixth Summer Movie Preview. By the looks of our Entertainment Weekly Summer Movie Preview edition, it looks to be a packed season of theater goings.
Theater goings.
Theater goings. That's what I do on short notice. Let Jared, Adam, and myself... take you off the ledge and into your local Cineplex. So let's get to it.
Do it.
I've got some questions, and Jared and Adam and myself will have answers. So the first question, obviously, is are you excited about all the movies that are coming out this summer? Is this a good season, good-looking season, Adam?
Yeah.
Or is it a bad-looking season?
So I'm really glad we saw the movie earlier today because the hour and a half of trailers before it, those were all really good trailers.
You liked every single thing.
I think I did. And I had not seen the new Spider-Man trailer yet.
No, that just came out.
Yeah. I did watch the new Batman one yesterday or the day before, but seeing it on the big screen is always nice, and not being able to hear Tom Hardy is always fun.
With his anus mask on? Yeah.
The goatee mask.
And the new Dictator trailer was actually funny. As Carrie mentioned,
I take
Adam
is loving
that.
Anyway,
Adam's getting soft in his
compared
old age.
To the first trailer.
What does he care? He's got a football team that's not going anywhere.
That's true. Exactly. That's true.
He's so selfish.
He's so high on life because of it.
20 years, Jared.
I think this will be a good year. I think probably there's three movies each month that that I'm interested in seeing.
Jared,
yeah, I think we started it off in a fine fashion with the Avengers, which we'll talk about later. And there, I think every month there's, yeah, like I said, Adam said, there's several movies that I'm interested in. I was surprised that the EW issue went all the way to August, so I can look at that and plan ahead too. I don't think I'm going to get a chance to see them all.
No,
but
it's hard to do. Could easily see a movie a week if you wanted to.
There's more than enough what I hope to be quality material coming out to keep me interested. And I think there's enough the popcorn tentpole flicks to make it feel like a proper summer movie season.
Yeah, I don't think last season was too bad, actually. We saw some good movies, we saw some bad movies. But this year...
Yeah, I didn't even see the big one I was looking forward to last year either.
Which one was that?
It was Cowboys and Aliens.
Have you seen that yet?
Nope.
I haven't seen that.
The reviews were kind of bad. I'm like, just didn't get to it.
Bummer. Yeah, I haven't seen that either. But I think this year will be good.
Yes.
Last year we were lucky because we got to see so many free movies.
Yes.
Which, so far, that source has sort of gone dry. I don't know what to do about that. But we might have to actually pay and go every Saturday morning to see our films.
And what's nice about the summer is that, and this goes into your next big question, but I'll just mention it here. We've got a couple of franchises that have kind of built to a certain point, and we're going to see some, big resolution of those plans. So that's kind of exciting.
Can I just say that seeing a movie at 10:45 on a Saturday morning is genius? Because did you notice the line after for the showing right after ours was enormous, and ours was like half, more than half full. But
and it's cheap.
No, that theater was pretty full.
Yeah,
but that's unusual. Even for big summer movies, it's that early. It's never that packed.
We saw Transformers and Thor there before the podcast. Years ago and 2 years ago, and they've always kind of been like that. It's just easy in, easy out.
Exactly.
So I would like
our ladies.
And like Jared was saying, $5 a ticket, or six. With
$6.
If you buy in advance.
Eat that, New York City.
And that's for 2D. 3D is going to cost you, I think it was like $9 for the real D, and I think 11 for the IMAX.
I'm staying away from 3D if at all costs this year.
If it's possible to avoid it, then that's what you do. Unless, I don't know, there's some stuff that's filmed in 3D that I might go to, but... anything that's converted, I don't have any interest in it.
No time for it. So I think it's going to be a good season.
Yep.
So my second question is this, and I've asked this the same question last year, but considering the movie we just saw, I think that it might be more relevant. And the question is this the real year or the real summer of comic book movies? We've got three big ones this year.
Yes, we do.
With Avengers, Batman, and Spider-Man coming back. I threw Men in Black in there because it was originally a comic book. Most people don't know that.
Did the comic come from the movie?
It was originally a comic book. Yep. Years before the movie came out.
Okay.
Like a little indie type of comic book.
Sure.
And I kept the question from last year because there's a bunch more movies that comic book movies that came out last year that I thought we should list. So Adam mentioned Thor. There's Green Lantern, X-Men First Class, Cowboys and Aliens, another comic book movie, and Captain America. So they're almost double the amount of movies, but is this the real year of the comic book?
Well, I mean, if you look at that list, none of us have seen Cowboys and Aliens. Yeah. That probably speaks to that. Green Lantern was panned by everyone.
We saw that.
Okay.
Bad.
And X-Men First Class, while I really wound up liking that, I think that it was kind of like... I don't know. I think people's first impressions of that was like, really, this is going to be like a summer tentpole. That seems weird.
It was a surprise hit.
Yeah.
Surprise hit.
I think of the three movies on that five that I liked X-Men First Class the best.
Yeah. I think I like
Thor the best, believe it or
Interesting.
Not.
Interesting.
That's because Natalie Portman.
Yeah, I just
more than a Captain America.
I think I did like it better than Captain America.
Okay.
As I think about it more, I laughed more.
Sure. I mean, there's Captain America definitely has some clumsy parts, but
I feel like Thor. Not to review last year's summer movies, that although that would be very typical. But looking back at Thor, what they had to do to establish him in the Marvel universe, where it's a gods among men, was a more difficult task. And the fact that they actually accomplished it with these guys wearing goat horns and armor and talking like they're out of Shakespeare. It was a little bit bigger feat than Captain America. Although I really liked Captain America, I think Thor had to swing for the fences or had a lot more ground to make up, and I think that Kenneth Branagh did a great job.
That's fair. Let's bring it to this year, though, Shane. This year.
So this year, I kind of feel like, obviously, the Avengers is a culmination of a number of years bringing things together.
Yep.
And, with Batman sort of finishing and Spider-Man coming back, I don't think you can doubt that this... This is going to be a watershed moment.
And don't forget Men in Black 3.
Oh, of course. Although,
I actually do want to see
the little preview for it that we saw before the movie started. It was like, you know, the check it out.
The 30.
I actually thought that made me like it a little bit more, made me a little more interested in it.
I want to see it. I'm not down on Men in Black. I've actually liked the first two films.
They are very rewatchable. They'll appear on TBS all the time, and when they're on and I'm on the road, I'll just kind of sit and watch, you know, for like the last 20 or 30 minutes.
My unusual hatred of Will Smith.
well, no, that's called racism.
Yeah, it's my racist tendencies towards Will Smith and how he raises his family drives me bonkers. So I'm sure I'm a little biased by that.
Sure.
Potentially, yes.
Potentially. So
I think we could probably at this point, going forward in the future, we could say every year is the summer of comic book movies. They make so much money. And they're so popular that I don't think that you're going to see them stop coming at this point.
Well, maybe the question is, like, when have we hit peak comic book movie? You know, like, when does it start to decline?
Well, it'll be interesting.
This might be it.
This could be the top, because now everyone's waiting for, it's essentially Marvel to fail. You know, when is the hubris, when is it going to collapse on itself, all these characters?
And I got to tell you,
core Marvel.
It's not right now because
I think it's very possible. It's interesting with the Avengers because you have to walk such a careful path. You have to balance it because any misstep could make the entire thing fall upon itself. Obviously, none of us believe that, and
find out.
Oh. So it could happen at any time, but. Yeah. You know, the other aspect that we're not really talking about is the fact that DC also has a universe in which they could do the same thing as Marvel's doing if they so chose.
They can't seem
I don't understand why that one is such a struggle for them.
Where they're succeeding in that area is that they managed to do that in the cartoon realm on television.
Sure.
They've been very successful with their Justice League series and various other spinoffs from that. Marvel hasn't been as successful. But they're starting to get into that realm, too. And there's a new Avengers cartoon, and there's all kinds of things supporting that. So.
Yeah. And, you know...
Your move, DC, I guess.
If you look at DC, the only successful comic book movie they've ever... Or franchise beyond Superman of the, 80s. You know, early... Or late 70s and early 80s has been Batman.
And Batman, the current take on Batman, you could almost argue, isn't a comic book movie.
Yeah,
it's so gritty and so realistic that you take away the gadgets and the costumes, and it could just be any... You know, not to take anything away from it because they're good films, but you could make that a non-comic book film still tell the same story.
And with Christopher Nolan leaving, I mean, I'm going to take him at his word, saying he's done with it. Mm-hmm. What do they do after that? You know, do they reboot? Is this their opportunity to now try to create a Justice League movie, especially with Superman coming next year? I think
you're going to have a hard time with a Batman reboot if you do it soon. If you do it later on, maybe, but, I mean, people really, really like this take on it.
Well, how long has it been since Spider-Man 3?
Like, 5 years.
Okay. I mean, that's probably all you really need, you know?
I don't know that the Raimi Spider-Man was as beloved as the Christopher Nolan Batman.
Like, they take him, that is the definitive take on...
That's true, but I do, you know, when I first heard they were rebooting Spider-Man, I kind of rolled my eyes at it.
I think we all did.
But I'm still rolling my eyes,
The Earth actually slowed down its axis briefly.
Whoa!
With the counterweight to rolling eyes.
I mean, if you... compare it to the way comic books work, where they have you know different arcs and different, you know, universes technically, you know, where you have Spider-Man and the Amazing Spider-Man, like, they're kind of these things happening in the same universe, but they're not really the same either time frame or whatever. That kind of makes sense. Now, does the general public understand that or care? I don't know.
We'll have to find out. I think Spider-Man will do fine.
Yeah. I didn't like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans.
I thought the second one was great.
Mostly because Emma Stone wasn't in any of them. So they've
calmed down.
That's the biggest issue, and they've corrected it.
The table's not too heavy. It's not going to hold up to your boner. So
let's talk about another property that is not a comic book, but sometimes it feels like it. It's this Battleship movie. So it's based on a Hasbro board game.
Yeah. As the trailer told us, from Hasbro, the creators of Transformers.
My notes here said the Battleship has Transformers. I almost call it Transformers. Battleship has done pretty well overseas in the month. It's been released almost a month prior to coming out here.
Slovakia and...
A lot of places, actually. And actually, I just read some updated notes on that. It's dropped off quite a bit, so not doing as great as what they thought.
Yeah.
My question to you guys is, how poorly is this movie going to do here? I think it's going to be a
Like John Carter?
I think it's going to be a John Carter
level. How much does it cost? About the same? Like, do we know?
Probably.
People aren't talking about that as much as John Carter for some reason.
Yeah. I actually hear John Carter
is a decent film.
Is a decent film.
Sure. That's what terrible marketing, and then you had the buzz of it, of it going to be a failure, and it just became self-fulfilling.
Yeah. Couldn't win.
And isn't what's-his-face in Battleship?
Taylor.
Yep. Yeah. Taylor Kitsch.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
I feel kind of bad for him.
Yeah, I do too.
But Rihanna's there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think John
and Liam Neeson.
John Carter,
he wants
to me,
all the weapons loaded and ready.
Don't let them sink my battleship. I feel like John Carter, as a creative endeavor, was a bit more pure and realized than this movie, which seems like a complete cash grab. And, you know, okay, when's the Candyland? I mean, the jokes just write themselves, and they've been, you know, people have been talking about it ever since I heard this movie coming out.
And it looks like, well, here's the thing is, you asked the question, is this, how terrible is it going to do? And I'm really conflicted, because I think it'll do poorly, mostly because I want it to do poorly, because I think it looks absolutely hideous. But people seem to really like these destruction porn movies.
Yeah.
I feel like this movie will probably do about 30 on its opening weekend.
All right.
That's my guess. And
probably needs like 50 or 60 to actually
probably
do okay. You know, you watch the trailer, and like, if we didn't have movies like The Avengers or Transformers, and you wanted to see a movie like, you know, a summer blockbuster.
Or you didn't have shit Transformers that it looks like Transformers.
Exactly. You know, maybe you say, oh, okay, there's a place for this. But it's, I don't know, like, I just,
and
I feel
Tom
like
Harding's anus mask. That's where the place is.
My question is, like, what was the benefit in naming this Battleship? Like, it seems like they could have named this something, you know, not Battleship.
Yeah,
like,
they're trying to get by on the clever marketing.
But it's, there's a movie based on Battleship? Well, like, I've got to check that out.
I don't think anyone's doing that.
Yeah.
Whereas with Transformers, people are like, oh, I know Transformers.
Oh, you remember the days when we used to gather around the fire and play with our Battleship games? Well, this movie is going to bring all those memories right back.
Yeah. Like, I think they could have just, you know, this could have been like summer action movie with aliens, and that people would have been like, oh, okay.
It looks almost like Halo Aliens attack the army is what it looks like to me, or the Navy.
I think the real crime is that a child born this year will never know a world where Battleship was a human versus human endeavor.
Amen.
Unless
they've rebranded the game.
What if
the game is different now?
It's branded as, it's got alien packaging, and it's just like, it's done. Forget it.
So they don't have like the simple clamshell blue, clamshell red.
Nope. It's
gone.
It's all shitty now.
I was going to say, what if the aliens are people? So then it's still human
versus
human.
Maybe that's the twist.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Adam, it's like you're writing stuff.
Yeah. I didn't spend that much time looking at it.
No. So I mentioned in our previous question that Battleship was released about a month before it was released here. So I asked
when does it actually come out here, by the way? I don't even know. This month.
Is it next weekend?
Maybe it's next weekend? Okay.
It might be late.
Look it up on your fancy your pad computer there.
You guys go.
I don't want to do that. So my question is this. Why the hell are big-time movies being released around the world before America? Avengers, another example. Avengers was released overseas a week earlier than it was
May 18th,
here.
By the way. The Dictator opens that Wednesday, and then the Friday is Battleship.
And I think I found
appointment
out.
Viewing.
I found out one of the reasons why.
Yes, I was hoping you had some insight on this because I don't really know why.
When I wrote the question, I didn't know, but
it's a piracy.
That's what it is.
All right, that was my guess.
That they're trying to thwart piracy.
Now this makes little sense.
Explain this to me because you are the king of pirates.
Well, no, because I was going to say to me, America is a bigger market, so to put it out internationally where they probably don't have the bigger restrictions like, hey, get that camera out of here.
Well, aren't there like pirate? I mean, you think about, you know, in third world countries, they have pirated movies everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's very common.
And they get on the internet.
Most of the
camera bootlegs that you get are from, like, you know, Thailand or Eastern Bloc countries.
The Russian mob is, you know, like, that's actually like a real business.
Putin is behind this, as usual.
Exactly.
Right, when he's not riding horses.
Without a shirt on. Okay, that
I think that
sense.
Is going to be our Facebook picture. Just Putin riding a horse.
Can it be like,
can I do that, Jared?
A tattoo of us on his chest?
Sure.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Sounds about right.
Jared, I need some help in my Photoshop. That's a little bit on my skill level.
Look,
I got to find that Putin on a horse for the scope.
I have a library of Putin photos. Don't worry.
Putin.thescopeshow.com. Actually, Jared's been keeping it updated.
Yeah. Putin's not going to be the new main host of the show, is he? He's not jockeying.
I got a Flickr gallery.
Okay, so that makes sense. That Or it doesn't make sense, but whatever.
I was thinking, at least that's the reason. When I wrote the question, I was thinking maybe this is just yet another example of the downfall of America. You know, Rome is burning. Let's give everybody else in the world power and take it away from Obama.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could see them, you know, for certain movies wanting to get out ahead of negative buzz to be like, all right, let's... But, you know, shoot, what was the movie? There's a lot of movies that make way more internationally.
Yeah, Battleship, I think, was always assumed that it was going... those big, dumb action films do better overseas. Yeah. For whatever reason, it's more universal. I don't know.
Sure.
So we've been inundated with that stuff, and we're just tired of it, whereas across the world, it's not as unfresh. So, but Avengers surprises me. I mean, the lead is Captain America, for Christ's sake.
Let me ask you this. Does releasing it early, is that better to thwart piracy than just doing the same day release?
That's a great question,
Jared.
Why do we not have a studio exec on the phone?
I wonder if it's hard for them to coordinate same day releases still at this point.
Then they need to get their shit
potentially.
Together.
Maybe it'll be easier when
it's about staggered marketing because then you have your stars doing their press junkets in America and then they go to another country and they do it, and then, you know, usually that's what it's why they do staggered releases around the country.
I feel like we've got a new podcast. It's like Scope CSI. We're breaking down all the big pop culture questions.
Right. But it's possible for some of these big films, they just do it all in one place and just have people remotely, you know, ask questions or whatever. I don't know. Because you always want to get that local flavor when you're doing your interviews, of course.
Of course.
You know.
Robert Downey Jr. On a blue screen with the Seattle behind him and then...
Well, I think it's more about...
And then Ukraine.
You can't have your standard extra interview. That's not going to play well in Norway. They want a local asking the
questions.
That's
because that local wants to interview Scarlett Johansson in person because she smells nice. Yes. I assume.
I'm sure she smells like butterflies.
Perfect, probably.
And fresh baked cookies.
Yes. Just a little bit of gun oil in there.
Just a little bit.
Just for an edge, yeah.
So this is Jared's favorite part of the show. It's speed round.
Oh, crap. I don't have any sounds. Damn it.
Make something with your...
I'll have to do that.
That's it. Perfect.
It's so fast that we need the fastest sound effect.
Now, because we've done lightning rounds and we've done rapid fires in the past, and I've dug out sounds for those, but...
I've got to get that on my iPad, Jared. Got to. So I got a list of movies. I'm going to name that movie, and then we're each going to give our one-sentence take on that film. And it's very difficult for Adam. We'll just start with Adam on the first movie, G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Surprisingly good.
Jared.
It looks like G.I. Joe.
Shane, I'm excited, but I still think there's room for failure.
Our compound sentence is allowed.
Yes.
follow-up question. What did you guys think of the first movie from a couple years
ago?
Hated it? What about
terrible.
You, Jared?
I don't know if there's any... Was there anything that was... redeeming
there
about
was,
that.
There were some, like, when they first got into the G.I. Joe base and there were some training sequences and stuff going on in the background, that was kind of cool. Otherwise, garbage.
I have to tell you guys.
They even ruined Snake Eyes in that film to a large extent. They gave him lips on his mask and he wore combat pants that were
this was
a
not,
lot of pockets.
This not one sentence about the new G.I. Joe and 17 about the old. What are we doing?
Adam started
what happened to the speed round?
I have to let you know.
Your sound effect.
Mandy and I kind of liked it.
Oh!
Like, taken as not a G.I. Joe movie. Like, taken as just...
But it's called G.I. Joe. Rise of Cobra.
This is the same argument we have with what's his face?
Tony Partington?
Time's up.
The duck, the goose says time's up. Movie number two. I'm really curious on your guys' take on Dark Shadows. Jared.
The Tim Burton, Johnny Depp combo was tired 3 films ago.
I like it. I totally agree. I want this movie to not exist. It is taking the idea of Austin Powers.
You can literally hear the semicolons in his one sentence.
It's Austin Powers with a horror twist. It's terrible.
Okay. For me,
I
was kind of excited about it, but after hearing you guys, I think my thoughts were in error.
Right.
So you've convinced me.
Okay.
Three, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Shane says, I should have thought about it because I don't know. I will say quietly intrigued.
All right.
That's not even a sentence, is it?
I'll go next.
Okay.
Adam.
The trailer makes it seem way too self-serious. And I think I read the book, and it kind of has, it's a tongue-in-cheek sort of thing. And I feel like maybe the movie's not this way, but the trailer is.
Hey, I love these sentences.
Well, it's okay. He's brief.
Not sure about his subject-verb agreement.
The grammar Nazi says.
Oh, is it my turn?
That's your turn.
You had me at destroys a tree with one axe blow.
It's amazing that Jared actually did some
notes. I'm seeing him read this.
Why did I not do this?
You said one sentence. I got one sentence for each.
Okay, next movie. We'll start with Jared. Pixar's return to greatness with Brave.
Seems like another Pixar hit, but I'm having trouble mustering enthusiasm.
Right.
I mean, it's not damning, but that's my sentence.
I think it looks really good. Mm-hmm. The new trailer looks awesome. And Mandy, who usually looks for like Disney princess things that are bad influences for girls, at least for the trailer, she was like, I didn't see any, you know, obvious girls should be princesses.
Such a political correct beast.
Yeah.
I'm quite excited for this movie, and I expect it to be Pixar returning to greatness after the debacle that was Cars 2, which should have never been made.
Did you see it?
No,
but how do you know it's a debacle?
Because
everyone said
it was
made good
bad.
Money though, didn't it?
Internet said
it
bad.
Did. That's what it was. It was Pixar's first real cash grab, and that sort of bums me out.
Okay,
the next movie is Ted, which, if you don't recall, is the Marky Mark Wahlberg and Seth MacFarlane stuffed teddy bear buddy yes. combo film. Adam,
I don't know.
Shane, huh? Jared.
I'm excited for some offensive stuffed animal fun.
Oh, so you're excited to see that.
I am.
What was the cop movie that he was in, Mark Wahlberg was in a few years ago?
With what's
Will
his name?
Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
I don't remember that.
It was really
I mean,
good.
I know the movie. I don't remember the
was
title.
Was it The Other Guys?
Yes.
Was that what
yes.
it was called?
I really liked it. And this initially reminded me of that. It mostly just because it's Mark Wahlberg trying to be funny. Or beat the straight man in a comedy.
Let's try this next one. I think the thoughts on this are going to be universal. That's My Boy. That's the new Adam Sandler, Andy Sandberg. It seems like a perfect casting, right?
Yeah.
Sandberg as Sandler's son.
On paper.
Shane says, trailer looks like a steaming pile of horse shit, and I will not see this movie.
Whoa.
Period. Adam.
Obvious casting. Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, I think Adam Sandler's stock is bad.
Jared.
That's it.
I stopped caring about Adam Sandler after Happy Gilmore.
What?
I agree with you.
No.
I mean, we had this conversation in my office. Name Adam Sandler's great movies.
I really like Funny People.
Happy Gilmore.
You're the only guy.
No,
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah. Funny People, is that really an Adam Sandler movie, or is that a Judd Apatow movie?
Judd Apatow movie. Oh, okay. You mean like Little Nicky and stuff like that. Well, no. But how old were we when Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore were out? You know, we were all like between 15 and 22. Like that's...
But those are our movies.
I still stopped caring about
Adam Sandler. No, but I'm saying like if he... What's an equivalent to that? What's the one with him as his own sister last year?
Jack and Jill.
What about the one where he had the remote control?
I bet 15-year-olds liked Jack and Jill.
We'll have to do some market research.
All right.
Are we really arguing about an Adam Sandler film? That looks
he's
terrible.
Defending
right.
Adam Sandler.
Right.
Adam Sandler had Punch Drunk Love.
Just because he's Jewish.
Again, it's not.
Do you like Punch Drunk Love?
Yes. But that's not an Adam Sandler movie.
No, that's
well, if we are taking his. Right. I'm taking his
Paul Thomas Anderson film.
And I think I might like Funny People. Be honest with you. I might like it. So
I didn't like Punch Drunk Love the first time that much. Second time, I loved it.
Yeah, I struggled with it one time I saw it.
Spanglish was pretty decent.
Never saw it.
God damn it. Now I got to go look at more films. What the heck is...
Adam!
Yeah, hi.
The remake that doesn't even need to be remade? Total Recall!
It doesn't need to be remade, but that trailer looks cool. So, and I really like Total Recall, but it's still... The original holds up. It's still a really good movie, so I don't know why this needs to be done.
Jared.
The trailer makes it look a little bit generic for an action filming, but I think it could be a lot of fun. I'm intrigued.
Shane says, if I can see it for free, I'm there.
Okay.
Finally, the Tom Cruise musical...
Tom Cruise and everyone.
And everyone. Rock of Ages.
Yes.
Who are you asking?
I love the 80s, but I'm not sure if I'm going to like this.
Have you seen... You haven't seen the show.
No.
A Broadway show.
Yeah.
Mandy saw the Broadway show. She loved it. And the trailer looks really enjoyable.
Okay. I mean,
I'll probably wait till it comes out on...
For me, the verdict is out. If I could see it for free, I would definitely see it. But I don't know. Jared, you don't know?
I guess it exists.
That's still debatable. It's
not
out yet.
I haven't seen a trailer for it. I don't know what the original musical is about. So I'm just like, okay, it's a thing.
It's about a guy getting into a band.
Okay,
right.
Who's old,
basically.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there we go. Speed round over. Great job, guys. Now let's get to the heart of the matter. Top three anticipated summer films of 2012. We'll start with Jared.
I broke the rule. Shenet 4. Four films.
Turn your mic on.
My most anticipated films of the summer. Obviously, number one, The Avengers. We just saw it. Mm-hmm. That was my number one. Number two, I'm a big Wes Anderson fan, so I'm going with Moonrise Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I like Ridley Scott, so I'm going with Prometheus. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that. And number four, G.I. Joe Retaliation. I'm excited for it, Shane. Wow. I'm officially excited.
Why are you excited for it?
G.I. Joe Retaliation, because it looks like G.I. Joe. All right.
Except that Roadblock might be a ninja.
I don't care. It looks awesome. I'm excited.
Wow. Roadblock, not black enough for my taste.
Those are my three.
Not black enough.
If they can work in Who Wants a Body Massage, then I'll be happy.
All right. I like it. My top three anticipated movies are very similar to Jared's.
Okay. I bet all of ours are.
The Avengers.
All right.
Prometheus, and I put The Dark Knight in there. Okay. Just because, I mean, come on.
I have the exact same three as you.
Although Dark Knight, I gotta say, I'm still not sold on Anne Hathaway as Catwoman.
Why?
I want a girl that's a little sexier. Yeah. She's got a little bit more of sexiness to her.
Did you see the butt shot picture?
I did, but she just seems like she just seems too wholesome for me.
Because it's Anne Hathaway. I don't blame you on that one. I dislike Anne Hathaway.
I haven't seen enough Anne Hathaway stuff to care, I guess.
But I think she'll
that's
be
my
fine.
Rub on it.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
And you know what? She has surprised me in other movies, so she could very well do the same.
Yeah. I know you're a big Princess Diaries fan.
I like Princess Diaries. I think it's a good movie.
This
is what I like about Shane sometimes. It's like I think I get a shot in, and Shane's just like, hey, whatever.
I really, really, really like Devil Wears Prada.
I hear that's good.
It was a great movie.
What about The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants?
Fuck that.
All right. What about the sequel?
Was there?
Yeah, that's sort of the Traveling Pants, too.
The Traveling Capri. What is your selection?
I have the exact same three as you.
Okay,
yeah. Wow. Way to bring some excitement to it.
I'm trying to get Mandy to watch Alien and Aliens. I'll probably stop.
You don't need any more after
that. Do you think I should just not buy... She doesn't like scary movies, so...
I'm not sure that it matters.
Prometheus is a prequel, so...
I know.
Is it?
Well, right.
Nobody seems to be able to crack that nut. Is it actually a prequel or
not? From what I understand, it's supposed to be a prequel, yeah. Well, I mean, everything you see there...
I think it's a spiritual...
I've also heard it might be a prequel to Blade Runner, so... It could be like a prequel to Ridley Scott's career.
Hmm.
How about that?
I don't even know what to make of that.
I don't know either. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Very secretive.
I'm excited for it, and it's made me want to go back and watch Alien and Aliens.
Okay, well, let's talk about the top three worst-looking films so far that you've seen.
All right.
I mean, you don't necessarily have to pick the Adam Sandler movies, but...
Well, all three of mine are comedies.
Okay, so why don't we start with you, then?
Dark Shadows.
Okay.
What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Yeah.
And That's My Boy.
Okay, Jared.
I have The Dictator.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks terrible.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can't... Fish out of water stories are just so boring to me. A Dark Shadow is also on my list.
Okay.
And Battleship.
Well, look, he's made it funny. I've got The Dictator as well. I put Rock of Ages on there because I really didn't like the trailer. I thought it seemed forced and, you know, for something, you know, I'm Mr. 80s guy.
Yeah.
It felt like, hey, let's try to make a movie about the 80s, but it doesn't really...
I could see that coming off as contrived.
Yeah, contrived. But who knows? Maybe it executes well.
The soundtrack during that trailer is good.
Yeah. And then I also think this, which could be one of the worst trailers I've ever seen, is What to Expect When You're Expecting. Yeah. That one boggles my mind about how bad... why do you need that?
It looks like grown-ups with, like, hey, let's do grown-ups, but let's talk about babies instead of just summer camp.
And guess what? I have a kid. I read books before the kid was born. What to Expect When You're Expecting was a book that I read. There's no connection other than the name. It's like the battleship of romantic baby comedies. It doesn't.
It's similar to He's Just Not That Into You.
Something like that. Well, at least that one has, you know, there's this dating aspect that goes into it. This is What to Expect When You're Expecting is like a list of, okay, this is what happens to you. There's no pretend story where it. Ugh, don't even get me started. Whoa. Don't even get me started.
Okay.
Dark Horse film. Movie maybe that's under the radar, or maybe you don't think people don't think it's going to do well, but does. You can kind of take that however you want to take it.
Yep.
I'll start.
Go for it.
I actually selected Moonrise Kingdom, the Wes Anderson film, just because I don't think it's going to do great.
But do they ever do great?
Probably not, but that's a Dark Horse.
Okay.
I'm excited to see it.
Okay.
Adam.
I picked Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
Interesting choice.
I really like the trailer for that one, too. That is the...
Explain that to me.
Steve Carell and who's the
is
woman?
That, is that an end of the world? It's like an
yes,
end of the world.
Yes, there's an asteroid coming. It's going to destroy the world. Yeah. And it's Steve Carell and... I can't think of who.
And a lady.
Yeah.
And a sexy lady.
I forget.
Lady.
It's a notable name, too, and I forget who it is.
It comes out the same weekend as Brave and... Abraham Lincoln Vampire.
So you've got three movies to see.
That's kind of it's different than the other two.
Triple feature, Jared.
Sounds brilliant.
Yeah,
and we got to do a scope on that same day.
Oh my God, you've planned out way in advance. Is it my choice?
Yes.
I had to reach all the way to August to find one that I picked as a dark horse. I'm going with The Bourne Legacy.
Ah.
I'm a huge Bourne movie fan.
Jeremy
and
Renner.
I don't know how well this one is going to do, but I'm excited to see what they do. Yeah, with Jeremy Renner in a new character.
I like Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
In Mission Impossible as Hawkeye, and I hope that he's good in that too.
Kirk Connor.
Word.
So before we close this up, I do want to ask you a question because I've been thinking about this. It's Amazing Spider-Man, the movie.
Yes.
You guys seem really excited about it. I've got a lot of trepidation about this film.
I wouldn't say really excited.
But you're talking about the trailer.
I think the new trailer makes it look much better and more of a good Spider-Man film than anything that's come before that. So
yep. I'm going to tell
not anything, any of the marketing that has come before for this film.
Everything that I've seen for the villain, which is obviously the Lizard,
sure
looks.
Is he the only villain?
Looks questionable. As far as I know, he's the only villain. Okay. Nobody knows that for sure. Some of the stuff that. They suggest like there's a biological attack, and maybe there's more lizards running around, and the city sort of confuses me.
Or Peter Parker's history.
Peter Parker was predestined to be Spider-Man.
That's a little thing.
That's a huge change.
That bugs me a little bit.
Yeah. I would much rather have webs coming out of your wrists than him being planted to be Spider-Man sometime in the past, and then it turns around. That bothers me quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But in the movie's defense... Emma Stone is in it.
Okay. Well, that's all we got. So I will see.
Does she destroy an axe with a tree with one axe? Axe blow? No.
Just a one look of her. Because one look of her eyes, and the tree falls over.
I think Mandy.
I guess I'm not under her spell, apparently.
All right.
Sorry.
So there we go, guys. Summer movie preview over. I think we did a great job. We were efficient, quick. We've covered it all. Listeners, if you want to add your comments, please feel free to contact us at our many, many email addresses or Twitter accounts or live streaming. I don't know. I don't know how people contact us. I've only been doing this 6 years. So let's take a quick break. Let's get to some music. And we'll come back with more Scope right after this.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
Yep. Playing a song from my band, Can't Get Away From It. You can get the song for free for a limited time over at thefump.com. This is Possible Oscar with a little ode to lady parts. It's called Underboot. Keep it locked here.
Life poses many mysteries. There's a point, one thing, memories. It can make a man fall to his very knees. A dose of mission from just a little tease. Thank God for the underboob and the side boob too. Thanking God for the underboob and the side boob too. Nipples are great, but nipples can wait. Underboob.
The beauty is that it doesn't have to be bare. Just a little tease can cause the strong to stare. Can pull us out of despair. The angels in heaven will sound my fanfare.
Thank God for the underboob and the side boob too. I'm thanking God for the underboob and the side boob too. Nipples are great, but nipples can wait. Underboob. What was Sunday? Be home by the two setting suns.
Mm-hmm.
can wait.
On the move, on the move. On the move.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the scope.
Under the scope. And we are back full force with the news. Over to you, Adam.
All right. We're recording this on May 5th. Do you know what that is?
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Drinko.
Yeah, do you know what Cinco de Mayo is?
Drinko de Mayo.
Is actually a celebration of?
Cheap tacos and even cheaper beer.
That's it. Well, all right. Next story.
Wow, Jared, you're on fire.
Do you know what? Yesterday, again, you're listening to this later on. That's fine. Yesterday was the day before May 5th, which is...
apparently Star Wars Day. When did this start? Because I didn't hear about it until last year.
Last year was the first time I ever heard about it.
Yeah, it seems strange to me.
Right. May the 4th be with you.
It's weird that there's a lisp in the name of the holiday, the event.
Yeah, it's like promoting gayness.
That's what I thought.
All this pro-gay agenda sneaking into everything. Next thing, they're going to want to be married.
So,
there has not yet been a serious response to the news. I love it.
So the reason I bring this up is because what happened yesterday, May the 4th,
I'm waiting with
one of
breath.
The founding members of the Beastie Boys, Adam.
No!
Oh. Well, that's a pretty strange segue.
Go ahead. It's the same day. Come on.
MCA passed away yesterday at the age of 47.
Damn it.
I don't know if you want to play some horns or something here.
I don't have any horns.
How about a Beastie Boys song?
Pollywog Stew, perhaps?
Ooh, I can maybe break that up. Hold on. Where are we? How do you spell Beastie?
Wow, you're world's biggest fan.
Begins with a B.
That's all we can give you.
We'll just go with this.
Yauk was born in...
eventually.
Brooklyn.
Working on it. Go ahead. Keep talking.
He had cancer. It was diagnosed in 2009. Cancer on his lymph nodes.
Yeah, it was some sort of weird... it wasn't just his lymph nodes. It was another...
yeah, glands. Parotid glands.
It's a very rare form of cancer.
Yeah.
Didn't make it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That was only 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So he is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, when he went in that, when he couldn't make it to that, I'm like, ew, this isn't good.
Right.
I had a feeling that it was going to be trouble.
He's credited with the sound change during the band's Paul's Boutique era. Kind of switching away from what existed earlier and some of the EPs and Cookie Puss and such and things like that. He directed a number of their videos, including their not Sabotage, but
Spike Jones,
but some of their more well known ones like Check Your Head and
under
Intergalactic.
His, under so his fake name of Nathaniel Hornblower.
Yes,
I don't think he ever got his goat.
He created with Oscilloscope Laboratories to distribute independent movies and things like that.
A lot of documentaries. I mean, he did Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Exactly. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't either. Some other stuff.
Hmm. So, the Ad Rock and Mike D released a statement saying, thanks. And the Current, one of our local... public radio stations has been playing Beastie Boys a ton over the last day. That's been nice.
MTV's got a special.
I went to all Beastie Boys yesterday afternoon after getting the news.
Yep.
Got back from lunch and it was all Beasties. Pass the Mic was the first song. It was very appropriate.
Yeah. So, kind of sad. I've been listening to them since, I don't know, I was probably like 9 or something, and I saw something on MTV and I was like, sweet. Jews. And white guys.
Finally, white rapping Jews.
Right.
My people are speaking to me.
there are two groups that got me into rap music in the 80s. One was Run-DMC and the other was Beastie Boys. So, I mean, I can't overstate how much of an influence Beastie Boys were on my musical formation during that era. And since, it's amazing how they evolved and I kind of evolved with them. And it was very sad to hear the news.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
All right, shift gears. Anything else? Anyone else want to say anything?
No.
Beastie Boys related? All right.
You guys spoke so eloquently that I just have to, I'm going to leave it there.
Speaking of eloquent, Stephen King has told rich people that are upset over their tax, potential tax increases, tough shit.
Go back to the 60s.
Can we quote that?
When these taxes were a lot higher.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the story? I haven't heard this.
Oh, and a brutally candid and colorful op-ed for the Daily Beast. King was relentless in his criticism of rich people upset over tax increases and Republican figures who defend them.
I love it when rich people go after other rich people for being assholes.
Eating their own.
It's fucking great.
Tough shit for you guys because I'm not tired of talking about it, King said. I've known rich people, and why not since I'm one of them? The majority would rather douse their dicks with lighter fluid, strike a match, and dance around while singing Disco Inferno than pay one more cent in taxes to Uncle Sugar.
I like Uncle Sugar.
I know. Here's another crock of...
Just read this whole thing. This is good stuff. This should have been the whole show.
Yeah. do you want me to read this last
paragraph? A little bit more. You're on fire. Your dick is on fire. On fire from
I'm swinging it around at Ames, Iowa still.
Uncle Sugar, take that.
Here's another crock of fresh bullshit delivered by the right wing of the Republican Party, which has become, as far as I can see, the only wing of the Republican Party. The richer rich people get, the richer...
Oh, well, you're totally ruining Stephen King.
The richer rich people get, the more jobs they create. Really, I have a total payroll of about 60 people, most of them working on two radio stations I own in Bangor, Maine. If I hit the movie jackpot, as I have from time to time, and own a piece of that film that grosses $200 million, what am I going to do with it? Buy another radio station? I don't think so, since I'm going to lose my shirt on one of the ones I already own. But suppose I did and hired an additional dozen folks. Good for them. Whoop-de-doo for the rest of the economy. So.
Wow. Scorching words, Jared.
Yeah.
Did you read that? Did you know about the story?
I'm happy to hear it, though, because like I said, I like listening to rich people yell at other rich people for being assholes.
Yeah.
It's great.
Speaking of assholes.
Because they won't take it from us poor people.
Yeah. What do we know?
Or middle class people, because, you know.
Barely.
Yeah. There were a bunch of responses either by, politicians or other celebrities that basically said the same thing that they've been saying about Warren Buffett's, like, oh, well, if he wants, he can write a check. And it's like, that's not how a society works.
Yeah.
You know, society is not, you know, three people get to be philanthropists. It's a collective effort.
Oh, come on.
Right, I know.
You know something else that's really been bothering me, Jared?
What's that?
There were more pictures of Adam on the internet standing behind pretty girls in some sort of weird setting. You know, him and all his friends. We talked about that last time. They're everywhere. I talk about it. There's 10 more pictures out there, Adam.
I know.
And my wife noticed it, too.
Yeah.
That's really at the heart of the matter of this
American
society.
I guess
American
I need to pay more attention to Facebook.
This is...
just Adam like this.
Everyone listening is really getting a kick out of Adam like this.
He always looks so nice in those pictures.
Worst two ever.
Like he loves being there, but I'm not sure.
Well, the rich get richer.
They do. It's like a bunch of rich, attractive people and Adam hanging out there.
Mouthy rocker Ted Nugent went on CBS This Morning correspondent Jeff Glore for daring to say his rather unmoderate opinions might present problems for Mitt Romney's presidential hopes. Nugent endorsed Romney back in March. So how does the talk of charity work turn into an expletive-laden rant?
Let's find out.
That's just how the Nuge rolls.
Do you have a clip?
I don't know. Go to EW.com and you can find it there. He's so moderate, he's extreme. Extremely loving, passionate, and a damn nice guy, he says about himself. Nugent talked about the Romney campaign's response to his accelerated, quote-unquote, activism and described his, quote, adorable
meetup
with Secret Service after, quote, brain-dead liberals questioned comments he made about President Obama, where he said, like, you know, he'll get the suck on a shotgun. Yeah.
And banjo.
Yeah.
Zippity-doo-doo.
So that was on, I guess there's a reason to not watch the Today Show anymore, because the cooler stuff happens on...
It does have Charlie Rose, I mean.
Yeah.
If Barack Obama becomes the president in November again, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year. Our president and attorney general are...
Implying,
I really hope that happens.
Yeah. He's implying... Well, no, because he's implying that he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
So
this
and he'll either be dead for it or in jail for it.
This video is 9 minutes long, playing the whole
thing. When the Nuge talks, he only has cat scratch fever behind him. Always.
What else does he have to hang his hat on?
He's got
nothing.
He's probably got some
deer antlers to hang his hat on, too.
Yep. A lot of deer. Or just severed animal heads in general.
Switching gears to entertainment news. Sci-Fi Channel.
Wait, Nugent isn't entertainment?
Yeah.
Or Sci-Fi. Sci-Fi. Continues their tradition of excellence in filmmaking. Coming in June, Jersey Shore, Shark Attack. June 9th. Stay away from the water, bro. Sci-fi's genre-busting summer film, Jersey Shore Shark Attack, now has a Guido chomping
trailer.
Stay away
from the water, bro.
The film stars some guy from The Sopranos, Tony
Saragusa.
Saragusa.
Is that the big guy that eats the sandwiches on the sidelines?
Yes. Paul Sorvino, Jack Scalia, and Joey Fatone.
Oh, God. The fat one's on there.
You really got some good news stories. That's something.
The movie unfolds during July 4th weekend at the Jersey Shore, where angry sharks are on a rampage, devouring residents, leaving it to locals to save the day. The film debuts Saturday, June 9th.
Wow. That's amazing.
We're going to have a viewing party? We might have to watch that for this show.
No. Thought about it, though.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'm gonna put that up on... For possibility that we watch it and review it.
And record ourselves live watching it?
I don't know. I mean, there's got to be some good clips we could pull out of that show.
Let's see. Shane, are you still enjoying Skyrim?
I've got 49 out of 50 achievements.
Right.
I'm not getting the 50th because it's a lot of work. So okay. I think I'm done with it. And we'll see with the DLC. I'm sure that's what the story is about.
No. Is about their MMO that's coming out.
Oh, I've heard rumblings about this.
Yes, Elder Scrolls Online.
Yes, the Elder Scrolls Online was officially announced this week. The long-rumored and much-anticipated game was unveiled to Game Informer. It will be their premiere their cover story this month.
Did you whip out your ding-a-ling and light it on fire and wave it at Uncle Sugar when you heard about this?
Always do. Developed by a team at ZeniMax Studios, The Elder Scrolls Online merges the unmatched exploration of rich... I'm just reading a press release now. So
no, you didn't write this stuff?
It sounds like you've got a preview
copy. This be the first MMO that you would try?
Answer? No!
All right.
I don't know if I'll ever do an MMO.
What platform is it? The PC?
It's PC and Mac.
Forget it.
Let's see. Actually, it said 2013, PC and Mac.
Are you done playing Star Wars or are you back in?
I was done the very first time I was done. I have not come back.
Are you doing any MMOs right now?
No. Diablo is not an MMO. It's a co-op.
He's got too many photo ops with the girls, Jared. He can't fit it in.
The only MMO I hope Shane gets into is Minecraft for Xbox.
Are you going to get into Minecraft for Xbox?
It comes out next week.
Tuesday.
I'll probably get it. I've never played any of the Minecraft games, so I'll give
we
it a try.
We can explore together.
But it's $20. This sets a bad precedent for Xbox Live games. It's their first $20 game.
Well, when Rock Band Blitz comes out, it'll probably be $20.
Yes, I know.
Which I'm fine with.
These are bad. Well, I have a Rock Band related story coming up in a moment.
Hit me.
Before we get to that. Last episode was the first, no, two episodes ago was the first one where we had our cavalcade of iPads, and we talked about Draw Something for, I think, 15 minutes.
We did.
Yes.
Did you know that since that date, they have lost 5 million users?
I see it.
It's because of us.
I stopped playing.
Too.
I got frustrated because
it kept
crashing on me, and then I just stopped. When they fixed it, I just haven't gone back
to it.
It's not very
graphic intensive.
The problem is there's an anxiety level of having to manage like six games going on at once, and then you watch the person guess your thing, you guess theirs, and then you present it with that list of three words, and you're like, fuck, I don't know how to draw any of these. And I'm just like,
Skyrim was one word.
And I'm just like,
time.
I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I don't want the anxiety level.
You know what my anxiety is? What? When I get a word from Earl.
Pretty bad.
The guy's one of the best artists on the planet. Half the time, I don't know what he's drawn. What the hell's going on here?
I stopped playing too, but what I did, and Shane, I played with you, so maybe you noticed, I would challenge myself to do the quickest drawing possible to see if they could still get it. And you always did, because you have the letters. I always feel like, you know what, you can probably get...
I like to guess before people draw.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
Really?
I'm like, beep, 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 done.
Yeah, if it's like four letters and you see, two S's, you're like,
I got Queen one time, and they literally it looked like they drew a triangle, and that was it. I think the problem with the game is it's really simple, and that was the draw immediately. But after you play
there's
it for
no
a while,
power.
There's no draw to keep you
Keep you playing. Draw Something.
Yeah,
exactly.
I still do it every once in a while.
They have lost 5 million users. It actually has happened since Zynga purchased them. But
Zynga ruining everything
that coincided with us starting it, or at least talking about it on the podcast.
So those bastards should be just very happy they got the money
Yes, they bought them. Zynga bought OMG Pop, the creators of Draw Something, for $200 million.
And how many people work for the company, do you know?
It was like 12.
So,
wow.
So more than likely everyone came out a millionaire, or awfully close.
Yeah, I actually read about how it worked out.
And, so how did it work out?
Well, the $200 million isn't real, because it's like
it's a
certain percentage of that was stock, because Zynga's publicly traded. But like the top two guys made a ton. Everyone else below still made a lot of money. And I think that they all currently still work for Zynga. So they have jobs to go along with their monies that they made.
Hmm.
But yeah, Forbes said the only winners in this were the higher-ups at OMG Pop. Because even if Zynga gets rid of them, they have a lot of money. Let's see. Oh, Rock Band. So, I don't know. There's two iOS games,
mm-hmm.
Rock Band games. Yep. Have you guys played either one of them?
I know of both of them, but okay. I don't own either one. Shockingly, I don't own them.
Well, EA decided yesterday to shut down one of them, sending out messages, you know, in-game messages to the owners of the old one, saying that the game would no longer be playable after May 31st. Mm-hmm. They were shutting down the servers. And this caused a little bit of an uproar.
Consternation?
Yeah. The game cost either $5 or $10, depending on when you bought it. And EA just said, yeah, shutting down the servers, so deal with it. And it kind of raises a lot of troubling questions about the future of video games. EA does this frequently with their online games right now, where they will shut down, you know, NBA Live 2009 servers a couple years after their, you know, people have stopped playing.
Sure.
You can still play the game. You just can't play online anymore.
Well, didn't they redact that?
They walked it back, but people are a little skeptical of if that's just because of the outrage.
Is it server related, or is it maybe because you're playing with real music and the contracts expired for those?
That's a really good question. All they did was they came
Where out. Is our investigative reporting levels?
I think it's a little unrealistic, though, for you to spend $10 on a game and it's an online game and expect to play it forever.
No, but this one's it's not an online game.
Okay.
It's a local game,
so
they were taking away the ability just to play it, not even play it online. Like,
that's an issue.
I thought some people did some research into like contractual standards and. Mm-hmm. That both EA and Apple are well within their rights to do that.
I'm sure that they're within their rights.
Yeah.
It's just a shitty thing.
It still blows.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of people that get really upset in the next, you know, generation of this happening when, you know, your parents pass away and they have $10,000 in movies and music and books.
Pop can points.
That just goes away.
Yeah.
There's no physical thing anymore. And, you know, the next of kin doesn't just get access by the, you know, the way that those user agreements
work.
It's
usually non-transferable. Yeah.
Obama.
Yeah. last thing, June 5th and 6th of this year. So
my wife's birthday and the day before my birthday.
Excellent. Well, you guys should walk outside because there will be a once-in-a-lifetime event happening. Venus is
what's it called?
Transversing.
It's going in front of the sun.
Between us and the sun, Venus will be going across.
And that's the planet, not the Williams sister.
Who knows? Maybe she'll be there.
Wow.
This tennis ball right.
Won't happen again until 2117.
Not in your two lifetimes.
Well, we might live that long. Depends on what advances.
I'm planning to live that
If the Affordable Care Act gets stricken down, I would say there's no chance. But if it goes away,
we will definitely be able to live because free markets will keep us alive.
Well, yeah, but they also have the death camps.
That's right.
Or the death panels.
As I like to call it, the yin and the yang of things.
Right. So these are the transits of Venus is what they're called. So you can look at the sun for a second. I don't know how long, if it's safe or whatever.
That's
but
Jared's new Fump song, Transits of Venus.
You'll see
a lot of harp.
You'll see the what's it called? You'll see Venus transversing.
So what you're telling me is you will see a tiny little dot go in front of the sun. Sounds great.
I think it's a special thing.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
All right. Okay. That is the last news item I had for everyone.
Wow. He has to end it on a brainy one, doesn't he?
I wanted to just try to, you know, expand people's minds.
That's what LSD is for.
I know.
Exactly.
Well, that's the only safe way to look at the sun.
LSD. Well, what's next, Adam?
Next is you saying that we're going to do a review.
We're going to do a review!
Took my cue from Adam this time.
Yeah.
Suck on it,
I did that on purpose.
Oh, all right.
Nice. Sharing the wealth.
My victories
guys,
away from me.
Guys.
You planned it like Loki. You're manipulating us.
He's a trickster.
You're rubbing my hands together.
We saw a movie. together.
We did. It was fun.
Yeah. I tweeted out Scope Vendors Assemble.
I tweeted out, this is my tweet, Norton Hulk, Ang Lee Hulk, and then the Avengers.
No, that was the order we were going to watch them?
No, that was that's my, in terms of what I like.
Your ranking of,
my
okay.
ranking
of Hulks?
Ang Lee, slightly better wow. than Avengers.
Crazy.
That wasn't that good. It wasn't Scope Vengers.
Not only that.
Sorry.
You were being deliberately inflammatory, I'm
yes.
assuming.
Because before the movie, none of us could even remember who the villain in that movie was.
It's true. We look it up, and you know what? IMDb didn't even realize that. They were confused.
You know what?
Ang Lee's the Hulk.
You know who the villain was? Us.
Yeah. We were the bad guys, Jared.
All right. We saw the Avengers. It's Marvel Studios' biggest film to date. It's based on the long-running comic book of the same name. Its script was written by Joss Whedon, and Zach Penn also did the writing. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a question on that
one. Oh, really?
Yeah, like, okay. Zach Penn did the first draft, maybe, and okay. then Whedon came in and just blew it up. So there was, like, writing credit issues that happened with that. So.
Gotcha. Joss Whedon also directed it, and it features an ensemble cast that includes Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett
right
Johansson,
to the camera,
ScarJo,
right to the camera,
Jeremy Renner, Tom
Charlton Heston,
Samuel
Jack
L. Jackson,
Nicholson,
and Jesus H. Hornblower Christ.
I call that an awesome ensemble cast.
Yes,
and don't forget Kesha.
She in?
Okay. No, she was not.
Did you know that the little girl from Family Ties was in it? She was that girl. She was that woman at the end that was like, Captain America saved my life in the bank.
The little girl from Family Ties?
Yeah. Growing Pains. No, Family Ties. I don't know. Some
Family anyway. Ties was what's-her-face. She's not...
Not her. We'll go back to it.
Oh, my God.
In the Avengers, Nick Fury, director of the peacekeeping organization S.H.I.E.L.D. What does S.H.I.E.L.D. stand for, Shane? Recruits Iron Man.
Something about superhuman espionage, intelligence.
Division.
Legal defense? I don't know.
Legal. Yes, we're going to.
If S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't win your case, you owe us nothing.
Yeah.
We can look it up, but what's the point of that?
Yeah, he recruits Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, and Captain America to form
Stay
a team.
Puft Marshmallow Man. Tony the Tiger.
The group must stop Thor's brother.
Tricks the Rabbit.
Toucan Sam.
Loki from
Nothing but cereal mascots.
Our first clip features Tony Stark and Loki conversing about their big, respective superpower
balls.
Balls.
Balls. I wrote it.
What have I to fear? The Avengers. That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team. Earth's mightiest heroes type thing.
Yes. I've met them.
Takes us a while to get any traction, I'll give you that one. But let's do a head count here. Your brother, the demigod. A super soldier, a living legend who kind of lives up to the legend. A man with breathtaking anger management issues. A couple of master assassins. And you, big fella, you've managed to piss off every single one of them.
That was the plan.
Not a great plan. When they come, and they will... They'll come for you.
I have an army.
We have a Hulk.
Oh, I thought the Beast had won it off.
You're missing the point. There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top. Maybe your army comes, and maybe it's too much for us, but it's all on you. Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
And in our second clip, there's even more Loki, this time jawing with badass Sam Jackson, better known as the Avengers leader, Nick Fury.
It's an impressive cage. Not built, I think, for me.
Built for something a lot stronger than you.
Oh, I've heard.
Oh.
A mindless beast. Makes play, he's still a man.
Oh.
How desperate are you? You call on such lost creatures to defend you.
How desperate am I? You threaten my world with war. You steal a force you can't hope to control. You talk about peace, and you kill because it's fun. You have made me very desperate. You might not be glad that you did.
Ooh. Oh, yes, Jerry.
It burns you to have come so close.
Yeah, you never had control of you, I thought you did.
To have the Tesseract. Have power.
What are you up to, Jared?
Unlimited power.
Therapy.
For what?
Oh,
a
yeah.
warm light for all mankind to share.
Who's in for the whole movie?
And then to be reminded what real power is. Well, let me know if real power wants a magazine or something.
Oh, snap. He got him.
The Avengers are already a worldwide smash and look to do the same in America. It can be found... You said smash in this, like Hulk.
That was intentional.
Found in
callback
everywhere right now.
Nice read. Nice. So we just saw The Avengers about 4 hours ago, now that our show has been going on so long.
Wow.
I think we all liked it. Is that the consensus?
Yeah, it was good.
I liked it.
Okay, next.
Come on, give a score.
Let me just say that most action-y movies don't do comic relief the right way at all. They do Jar Jar Binks or C-3PO or whatever.
Don't bring C-3PO into this.
Well, if you rewatch those movies, he's not funny or fun.
It's not fun. Not funny.
It's not funny. It's not fun.
This movie was... they knew exactly how to do the funny bits, and and a lot
it was
of
like it build this tension. You're like, and then all of a sudden there's bam, there's one liner. You're just like, ah,
yeah. Or sometimes there was action involved in the humor.
Don't spoil it.
I would never. But that was the thing I was most impressed with.
The funny.
Jared.
That's it. That's what I have to springboard off.
Who's your favorite character in this? Who surprised you?
Who surprised me? I think we got a lot of Agent Coulson, which we have only gotten little tastes of in other films. So he was fun. It was fun because he was a bit of a Captain America fanboy.
Yeah, he was sort of the everyman.
Yeah,
a little bit more of an everyman than he was in other movies.
Yeah,
I think it was, in other movies he was a bit more.
He had specific roles to fill in those ones. This one he could just be. Yeah.
We get the real agent.
Yes. I mean, it's so easy to like Iron Man as your favorite because he gets so many of the great lines.
Mm-hmm. The Hulk surprised
Hulk,
you?
I think Hulk is probably my favorite. Mm-hmm. Honestly, Hulk was just amazing.
Now there's talk about a Hulk movie spinning out of this.
Yeah.
Do they need to do that?
I don't think so.
I don't think they do either.
I think it works really great as a supporting character.
Yeah. I totally agree.
As a lead, I don't know. It's not as they probably will do it, and it'll probably be a lot of fun. But you still be like, he really needs other people, superheroes to interact with.
If they do a Hulk movie, he has to be with someone else.
Yeah.
I just think that's the way it has to.
And
go.
As much as I didn't dislike or like the Edward Norton one. I guess I liked it. Okay,
that was good.
I thought Mark Ruffalo is a great Bruce Banner.
It was all written. I think that Ed Norton could have done it just as easily.
Yeah.
I just think that it was not written correctly, and maybe you just can't have a Hulk movie. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I thought, honestly, and I was talking to my wife about this, I thought the movie started off a little slow.
I was going to bring that up. I agree.
It
wasn't bad. It was just very much a very slow boil at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then once it starts going, it's like... Forget it. It's a thrill ride.
Yeah. I liked how long we had to wait to see the Hulk.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's kind of funny because even though there have been two Hulk movies, it hasn't been, you know, technically a part of this exact same, you know, canon.
Yeah, it always felt like it was off to the side.
Yeah. So, like, for him to be, like, their secret weapon, you know, kind of. I mean, they all kind of were.
And the Hulk was really impressive. That was the first superhero movie. That was the first event, you know.
Of
Hulk,
these guys. Yeah.
Ang Lee Hulk predated everything, so.
Yep.
Yeah,
interesting choice to try to kick off the modern superhero era with Marvel to go with an Ang Lee Hulk film. But hey, whatever.
Well, I mean, they had X-Men and Spider-Man,
I guess,
but
not Avengers.
But when they were establishing the Marvel universe movie universe, he was, I guess, the first.
Is that considered part of the this Marvel universe?
I think it is, but I don't think they knew what they were doing at the time. So. No. I think that.
But we're getting off track. Let's talk about the Avengers.
So one of my biggest concerns anytime there's a superhero movie is that there's like too many superheroes or there's too many villains. I think like Spider-Man 3 really suffered from the two villain thing.
Batman movies have suffered as well.
Yeah. So in this, there were, you know, two bad groups, I guess.
Barely.
Right. It was
Loki was
more of a unified, you know, bad guy or bad guy group, whatever. But on the flip side, there were, you know, six heroes or whatever. Yep. Did you feel like some people didn't get enough screen time, or they balanced it right?
Well, they balanced it right, and not to give away, but you pull one of those heroes out for a reason, and so really now you're only focusing on five, and then the Hulk is not really in the movie, so he's more of a person through most of it. So now you've got down to four, and it worked. They made the effort to. It was scripted in such a way that every hero seemed to work. They'd pair them up.
Yep.
So you'd have that interaction, whether it be a scene or a few scenes. And I think that was a great way of doing it.
And it didn't seem forced. It seemed like a perfectly natural characterization for that scene. And it just, scripted really, really well.
Everything worked. And they had the lead up. There's a lot of what drives this movie came from Thor, really.
Yeah.
So you had to lay that out in a certain way so people can kind of understand. You have to, once again, reestablish Captain America, that he's a fish out of water. The rest of the characters, Iron Man sort of speaks
for himself. I'm thankful
they
didn't dwell on Captain America being a man out of time too much.
No, it was there, and then he got over it.
Yep. Which is perfectly reasonable.
And that's exactly how he is in the comic book.
Yeah.
That's exactly
right. He's like, I know what my duty is now, and now I know my path, and let's go.
So we talked about it being a little slow at the start. I think once they kind of got the rhythm and got everyone together, it was great. And the last major set piece of the battle in the city was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it was done perfectly. It was way over the top, but it worked.
And there's so many little layers to it. There's little like moments of teamwork. I mean, if you're not watching for it, you'll miss it. But there's a shot where Captain America and Iron Man are on the street, and he shoots his repulsor beams at Captain America's shield to ricochet and hit something else. And it's just like, if you didn't see it, you would miss it. But it's just like, yes, just little stuff like that. You're like, yes, this is how it should be.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of moments like that. And I want to bring the thought back to the humor, because there was so much humor in this movie that it was easily missed.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought the crowd that we saw it with missed a lot of the funny stuff. Like, I was surprised that people weren't noticing or laughing at more things than just the obvious stuff.
Yeah.
It was a weird crowd for it being as busy as it was.
Yeah,
I was surprised.
The big obvious items everyone was definitely laughing at. And
it's some of the subtler stuff that Joss Whedon is known to put in there that not everyone is going to catch.
Right.
And maybe that's why some people don't like his work, because they're not maybe intellectually capable of catching on to it. I don't know.
Or it's dense, too. Like,
it's
does
a lot of stuff going on.
Like making fun, bringing up Shakespeare and making fun of Loki, who's speaking with a British affectation and everything.
I go back to Iron Man and all the great lines as Tony Stark gets. I mean, he grabs Hawkeye and is like pucker up, Legolas.
Yeah.
It's like,
clinch up.
Yeah. He's just got all these great references. It's so
Beyond the movie starting slowly, any other weak links in this movie? Because I have actually two things that I would comment
on. I have a couple, and I'm trying to figure out how to talk about it without being spoilery. But I think it's pretty clear that there's some sort of invasion menace thing that they have to face off. And I thought that wasn't really well defined exactly who they were and
point of it was.
Taking over the Earth. Maybe that's enough. But I just thought they were maybe a little generic. Maybe you have some knowledge of this, Shane or Adam. Are they supposed to be something that has existed in the Marvel Universe?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I don't know for sure.
Because there had been a lot of speculation beforehand that it could be
the
Kree or the Skrull or whatever. And if that is the case, they certainly didn't spell it out in certain terms if that was the case.
I'd have to research that. I don't know.
My second issue is Black Widow. She seems to have extraordinary abilities that I was completely unaware of. Maybe a bit more than someone who is and correct me if I'm wrong, but is she super powered in the comics?
Hmm.
Okay. So she seems to have she's really good at what she does.
Yeah.
And maybe more than she should be for someone who is not enhanced in some fashion.
The problem is, though, is that if that was the female that they select to be part of the Avengers, and there's a few other people they could have had that actually had superpowers. So I think you have to give her cut her a little slack.
Yeah,
and not say you, I just mean in general that.
And
it
wasn't distracting but it was just a bit like maybe we're just, we're pushing it just a hair too far, but I'll deal with
and
it.
Hawkeye,
I'm okay.
Hawkeye's the same way. I mean, he got his ass handed to him a couple times, which would have probably killed someone, but he handled it okay.
Yeah.
Within the context of the movie, and that's just the way it is.
I like his quiver of arrows. I think it's pretty cool how he's just got like shafts and he can like select like with his finger grip on his like what type of arrowhead he wants to have. And
not,
it just rotates around.
He didn't have Infinity Arrows either.
Right.
Which I was thinking about that. Like, how are they going to get away with that?
DC can never bring in Green Arrow now.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
even though there's going to be a show this fall about the Green Arrow on the CW or whatever. So. Yeah. Anything weak for you that you want to point out?
No. You know, Mandy, she did feel like the first, the middle major battle kind of dragged on a bit. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that way. I liked every second of it.
Yeah.
What I thought about afterwards was that whole battle didn't really have to take place, and it there was no obvious thing that... There was no outcome that would have been beneficial for that.
Sometimes
for
you
the
just
bad guys.
Just get, yeah.
But whatever.
And you also have the heroes sort of punching the shit out of each other a few times, which was just more to show them beating the shit out of each other. Yeah. So
It's fun to see the four core heroes basically on a strength level kind of being evenly matched.
Yeah.
And they just pound on each other and nobody's significantly hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That was just fun to see.
So my weakness the other things we haven't talked about, I kind of thought that the S.H.I.E.L.D. aspect of it was a little weak. I felt like Sam Jackson a little bit wasn't as good as what, you know? I mean, it was more like Sam Jackson being badass Sam Jackson. He seemed a little flat. But the other character that I was sort of bummed out by was Maria Hill, which is Kobe...
Summers.
Kobe
Smulders.
Smulders,
yeah.
You know, I kind of thought and expected that she would... I mean, that character in the comic is just a badass broad. And she kind of came across as a little limp to me.
Maybe just another agent?
Yeah, just like her voice. Like, I thought that she would toughen her voice up. And she just, like, she sounds like Robin from How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. I really wanted someone with a little bit more grit.
She
looks the part. She looks exactly the part. But the voice does not match the character.
I kind of feel like with some of the things that character
she's
has...
She's new in the comics.
Yeah. With what that character has done in some of the comics, if they go that route, it'll be fine, and they'll, make her be able to do that.
Like, she has the ability to be as badass as Sam Jackson's Nick Fury. Someone that will do whatever it takes to get the job done, so...
Yeah.
I didn't quite get that from her in this one. You know, a lot of it was her standing around on the bridge. It's amazing, like... She was in a big conversation with Sam Jackson. He was looking out the window. She turned around and walked, and there was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that just happened to be walking by and just gave her the clipboard right there just in mid-stride. I'm like, that is, I tell you, that's some serious coordination.
I noticed that, too. we haven't mentioned it, but I really feel like Tom, whatever his face, that plays Loki.
Hiddleston,
nailed it?
Yes, and usually bad guys in these movies, it's like, they're playing a foil, but it's like, I don't know. Like, the movie's not about them.
No.
Obviously in The Dark Knight, Heath Ledger was able to do that. That's like the only example. But man, I fucking hated Loki during this. Like, I for a guy that is not, super powerful on his own, he like has magic or trickstery stuff.
It's a bit opaque or you just don't really know what he can do.
Right. But
shifts.
His personality is great for a dickish bad guy.
Yeah.
Gave some good speeches.
And
one in particular interrupted very, very nicely.
What I like about, about it too is they tied that sort of his status into the Thor movie, the fact that even him being this big douchebag, he's still Thor's brother, and you can redeem yourself.
Yeah.
These gods sort of stand above men, and, we can get by all this petty stuff of you trying to destroy the world. Just come back home with me, and we'll figure it out. I kind of like that aspect.
Well, and that's just the strength of Joss Whedon and his writing of characters. I mean, these characters feel like they have motivation, and they have... dimensionality to it. They're not just there to deliver a line and do something cool. You actually feel something solid with them, which is just great.
So I guess before we give it a review, the one thing that will be interesting to see, especially with both Iron Man, actually all three, Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America, new movies in the coming years, how will those movies stand on their own now that they are, they've fought giant intergalactic, transdimensional villains were the biggest threats in the world. How can you go back and make a smaller story and be successful?
Yeah, like with Iron Man, it seems easy because that character is just, he's enjoyable. You know, he's funny.
Yeah, Iron Man isn't much of an issue.
Yeah, he's conflicted, and you could watch him just you know, battle someone stealing his suit, like what happens in the comic books all the time, and still enjoy it because of him.
Yeah.
But the other two, I can see that being difficult.
Thor's got a big world to play in.
Oh, yeah.
And Captain America, you'll have to see. I just mean that, you know, you see them together, and it's so much fun to see them interacting on that level. What happens now that you take them apart and you make them stand on their own? Is it going to be as much fun to see?
You're going to have to pay a lot of attention to character growth, I think. That's where the reward
and
is going to be.
And not have a terrible Independence Day love scenes in the middle of it that make no sense.
I agree.
Which I think, you know, they all want to do. You know, now I did like Natalie Portman's fake cameo in the
but
movie.
At least they mention it. You know.
Yes. But, you know, like, you worry about them, like, making those things a bigger deal when, you know, in reality, in the comic books, I mean, other than Iron Man, for those characters, those things don't really present themselves.
No.
You know, like, so Daredevil's, you know, maybe coming back. I guess the script is done.
As a movie, yeah.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, emotional relationship stuff that goes on with that character. I think when it's appropriate, not just from the source material, but just because it's for the characters it makes sense, it's fine. But I don't know. I don't know how you concentrate on a Captain America movie when, because you can't go back to the Nazi well.
No, you can't.
I think that, you know, once again, you know, me earlier in the show talking about how everything is such a delicate balance with the Marvel movie universe, and they've taken it to a whole different place where this has never been done before. I mean, not like they're, you know, splitting the atom or curing diseases, but in terms of the movie world, this is something that's brand new.
Yeah.
And so far, they've done a pretty good job of traversing that terrain. Now, we just have to see how they traverse back out of the monster movie, the monster ensemble movie, into something that's smaller, I guess.
Regardless of whatever the quality of those films end up being, I think your first batch out of the gate are going to be just killer box office.
Yeah.
Because people are like, this is a great world, I want to live in this. Now, I mean, obviously you got to keep quality up, otherwise people are going to go, ah, okay, these are not as good anymore, we're giving up. But
we'll have to see. So let's give this thing a score.
The Soap score is 3.5 stars.
Awfully good.
Inching close to perfect.
Sounds like we could have even given it higher, but I think 3.5 is very, very appropriate.
Yep.
So let's move on to coming soon.
Hey.
Hey.
All right. May 8th, we've got some music coming out. Keen has a new album.
Oh,
you guys into Keen?
I've enjoyed them in the past.
I don't mind. Yeah. Their last album I didn't like.
Right, I like the older stuff more than that one. Silver Sun Pickups, they have a new album coming out. Is this their second? I guess it's their
third,
first one?
I think it's third.
Okay. I know some people who are very much into them, and they say that I would like them, but I just haven't found
a
chance.
They're smashing pumpkins of the modern age.
Yeah.
But some of their stuff is good, some of it's not so good. Just like Smashing Pumpkins.
It's 90s Smashing Pumpkins. It's not modern or, you know, recenter.
Well, now
Smashing Pumpkins. May 15th, some more music.
So they have a drummer who's heavily into drug use.
Yeah, of course.
Already dead.
Got it.
Adam Lambert has a album coming out, not with the Queen guys, just by himself. Best Coast, Garbage, Tenacious D, Santana, and Saint
Etienne.
Etienne.
Yep.
All right.
I like that band in the late 90s, so I put that in there.
Oh, okay.
I'm very excited for the D.
I heard one song on it so far, and I liked it. Movies, May 11th, Dark Shadows. Oh, this is what we were talking about earlier.
It's coming out now.
It's like in the next two weeks, there's no movies that we absolutely have to see in the theaters.
The Dictator comes out the following Wednesday, and the following Friday, What to Expect When You're Expecting, and Battleship.
By the way, I like Sacha Baron Cohen. I think Borat is like a genius film. I never saw the second one. What was it?
Bruno.
And I would love for The Dictator to be good, but boy, I don't know.
Yeah. It could be bad. I just think that this new trailer made it look way better. Because it actually showed what the movie's actually about.
This trailer for a while, so you must not have seen it. But
the second trailer actually made me like it less.
Huh.
Yeah.
All
sorry.
Right. It's because you missed the Kim Kardashian joke from the first, first one. DVD, May 8th, The Vow. Underworld Awakening. They're still making those movies.
What?
And,
DVD. I was like, what? Those have already been in theaters.
And Chuck, Season 5. Is that the last season?
Yep.
May 15th on DVD, Rampart. I don't know what that one is.
I don't know that one either.
Chronicle.
I gotta see Chronicle.
Yeah, it's a superhero.
It was pretty good. I saw it in the theater, and you know, for I like found footage movies. I'm just a sucker for him.
Isn't the director? Isn't he the one doing the Fantastic Four reboot? I think.
I don't know.
Get the Fantastic Four into the Avengers universe. Come on.
No. Is Jessica Alba in this reboot?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm fine with it then.
They need to bring in the ultimate version of the Fantastic Four.
Is Jessica Biel perfectly. In this movie?
No.
But I don't know the difference between those two.
Jessica Biel is in Total Recall, though. This is maybe why I want to see Total Recall, because it has both. Jessica
Biel.
Is
she the one with the three boobs?
There's no three boobs.
What about
Well, maybe there is three
What
boobs?
About when the face splits in half?
Yeah. Is she the lady with the face
that
splits in
half? No, there's none of that.
That's actually Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You have Kate Beckinsale and Jessica Biel.
So hot
in,
chick city.
In one film. So that definitely piques my interest.
One of them is the Sharon Stone lady, I assume.
Yeah, of course.
And one of them is the Get Your Ass to Mars lady.
Get Your Ass to Mars.
One for the money and the Vans Warped Tour. No room for rock stars.
I put that one in for you. I figured it'd be an instant buy for Adam.
I might check it out. I do like those movies. What does this say? It is so gross outside, guys. Video games.
Sweet.
The week of May 6th, Starhawk for the PS3.
That's like a big multiplayer type game, right?
Yes. And it's been in beta, one of those console beta games for a while. Gotcha. And Minecraft
Yay!
For the 360.
I put that there for you, Jared.
Thanks. I just hope that somehow my friends will get it and we can play.
Is it cross-platform with PC?
No.
Okay. So you're going to buy it for the 360 as well to play it with.
That is my plan.
When you play it, will you be clothed most of the time?
Yes, of course. Okay. My Xbox is in the living room. There's got to be a certain level of decorum.
Okay.
Draw the blinds.
You don't want your Uncle Sugar hanging out?
No. No, I don't.
Finally, games the week of May 13th, Diablo 3.
That's for you.
Don't really matter, but Max Payne 3.
I might buy that, actually.
Yeah?
Reviews on it, or like the multiplayer on that, are really intriguing.
Man, on Max Payne?
Yeah.
For some reason, I have been playing Modern Warfare 3 a lot lately.
Really?
I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm really happy that Diablo 3 will come out so I can stop playing Modern Warfare. Game of Thrones for the PS3 and 360, and Battleship. Battleship, the game about the movie based on the game.
That's very difficult to wrap your head around.
Sounds like a winner. That's it. That is all the things that are coming soon.
Okay, Jared, let's wrap it up.
Under the scope.
There we go. There's the button.
Nice.
My mouse is being jumpy today.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
So it's off to you, Jared. I'm handing it over. The reins.
I don't have any comments on the last episode. Back to you, Shane.
You do, too.
There aren't any comments on the last episode.
Luke Ski just sent us a long email.
Okay, well, we can get into it. Some of it's sort of...
I didn't even read it yet.
Some of it's sort of dated at this point. This is actually sent, I think, a resend of an email that I said we didn't get in the last episode. So he has some information about MarsCon 2012. We were talking about how we felt, or Shane, thought it was less attended.
I don't like the fact he's calling me out with facts.
He says MarsCon 2012 had just over 800 attendees, which is pretty good for them.
Pretty good. Didn't seem like it was 800 attendees.
Yeah, he says there's a handful of Dementia Track people who decided to not go this year because they're going to go to another con.
Soggy Waffle. Soggy Potato Chips.
But yeah, so like slight dip in Dementia Fan, but overall attendance, highly attended year for MarsCon.
I was going to call them Soggy Waffle Chips.
What are waffle chips? He also throws in a plug. He's performing at Convergence 2012, Saturday night, 7 p.m. right before the Oscar at 8:30.
I didn't know Lusky was coming to Convergence this
year.
So
he'll be there Saturday night at 7. We're on at 8:30, and then there is, I believe, stand-up comedy following us. So it's a whole comedy block on Saturday night.
Cool.
Then he goes into his whole thing about Sherry O'Terry and referencing what we had talked about.
Okay. You don't have to read that.
How you had called him out. It's more of a water under the bridge scenario. Shane, you can, if you want to read it to get...
I'm going
to
light that water on fire.
If you want to read it to kind of recap, you know, what happened and everything. But I'm kind of done with that fight, so we can move on. Then he goes on to say, he got a comment about the Clone Wars. We were talking about Darth Maul, his return on the Clone Wars at the end of the season. Darth Maul on Clone Wars. Hold on. We lost our stream because we hit... a certain time limit, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, geez, we're just going over and over and over.
Our one person is missing out. Okay, we're back. Darth Maul on Clone Wars is pretty awesome. I like the stories that center on the characters that were actually in the movies. Ahsoka's good, too. I just hate multiple episode story arcs about some alien diplomat and his or her planet's trade route negotiations. Blah-zity-blah-blah-blah, whatever. Just show me Obi-Wan kicking some ass already. I can't disagree with that. No, I think it's a good show, but when it gets into some weird characters plans having some issues and somebody has to go help, it gets boring.
Darth Maul and Darth Maul's yellow brother are going to be attacking the worlds in the next season of Clone Wars. And the big rumor is that Boba Fett might be getting his real uni form in the next season of Clone Wars.
Wow, I hadn't even realized that was the end of the season. I just suddenly episode stopped recording. I'm like, oh, it's am over. I missing this for some reason? And I checked on IMDb yesterday. I'm like, oh, nope, that was the end of season 4. Okay.
It's over, Johnny.
Yeah.
It's over.
If you got some comments about Sherry O'Terry or the quality of Clone Wars episodes, you can email us at comments@thescopeshow.com. Call the voicemail line at 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. You can also post on our Facebook page or...
soon to be featuring Putin on a horse.
Right. Or reply to us on Twitter. All of that information is at our website, thescopeshow.com. Yeah, I suppose I could get the plugs in. I checked on reviews recently. No new reviews in iTunes. So if anyone wants to help us out there and you haven't reviewed the show already, pop into iTunes on your computer device.
One streamer.
Look up the Scope Podcast and give us a review. It wouldn't hurt. You can also donate to the show. $5 gets you a sponsorship.
Unless that review, Jared, is from one of our good friends who doesn't give us 5 stars.
Right.
Remember that controversy?
Yes. Right. And as always, one of the best ways to support the show is to click on the Amazon banner on the left side of our website. Take you to Amazon. If you're shopping at Amazon, we get a little piece of the action. You still get brilliant Amazon savings.
And by action, you mean vajayjay.
Right. Back to you, Shane.
But what a power-packed show. It's like we are the Avengers coming together.
I felt that way. If we were the Avengers, who would be what?
I was just thinking about that.
Who would be what?
Well, I've always considered you to be a gentle giant.
Right, so I'm the Hulk?
You're gentle.
Can I be Scarlett Johansson?
Of course.
Yes.
And I would be the guy that hands Hill the clipboard. That
would be... nice.
Synchronized, baby. So there we go. So that was a great show, Jared. Let's just wrap this thing up.
No, I want to plug my appearance coming up at Convergence.
But you didn't do that?
I did it. I'm going to do it again in the official plug section, Shane.
Oh, okay.
My band, Impossible Oscar, appearing live. Appearing
is appearing.
We're appearing live.
Take this clipboard.
At Convergence 2012, Saturday. I think it's the 7th? I don't know. Whatever that weekend is. We are 8:30 p.m. in Harmonic Convergence. Live rock music.
Adam will be there.
Come out and see us.
I think I will be.
All right. That's all I have.
Is Mandy going to be there?
I think she will be.
Oh, God, I would love to see her.
We just...
Will a lot of her fun friends be there? Can we take pictures? So, like, we'll put the guy dressed up as Vampire Hunter D behind you, girls, and making his head over?
You know, if... I bet if you sold it to them as...
a photo op?
Like, do you want to be ogled by lots of guys that are 10 years younger than you?
Are any of those girls married in that group?
Yeah.
Are they all single and ready to mingle?
They're that, too. They're a very open relationship kind of group.
Oh, I love it. Bring them all, Jared. Bring them all.
I was going to mention, we also just shot a commercial for promoting our appearance at Convergence.
Can I see it after the show?
I can show you the work in progress.
All right.
But hopefully that'll get posted up this week. This listening week. Whatever. The show comes out on Monday. We'll post that out and tweet out some links in. And you can see us, the band, in a crazy commercial. That's it.
I'm very excited about that. I think this is a great show, by the way. High energy. Adam's exhausted.
Yeah. He's got his arms up, though.
He's like he's holding a boombox. I don't know. Say anything, Jared. That was the reference.
I get it.
All right. So,
you little Peter Gabriel playing? Can't play it for, reasons on the stream here, but... Go ahead! You can reenact. That's fine.
Nice.
We got performance rights for that.
All right. So for the Hulk, Black Widow, and Guy with Clipboard, we'll see you next time. Let's go, baby. We're out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying...
Buenas noches!
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.